fiery presentation. But I think the best way that you present it is this way. So this way and this way and this way. So actually, the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he contains all of us, and all the ideas complement each other. Ideas, actually no, in his person, we are all included with our flesh, our spirit, our ideas and everything. So it is in him we have peace with whatever we think, we feel, we live, we experience. Thank you, Dr. Bibawi. And maybe to apply what he, Dr. Bibawi presented, the next speaker is from outside the formality of scholars. So he has no divine degree in divinity or degree in this PhD in whatever in the divinity science. But he is one of those like Father Philemon. He doesn't know how to read and write. The scholars, the books like the scholars, but he is one of the people who was raised in the church and was able, from this is my experience with him, he was able to get to know and learn from Jesus Christ and the books and the texts and the scholars. So Mr. Fuad Naguib, he is an engineer from Egypt, lived many, many years in the U.S., and he is what to say, knowledge, spirit, history, theology, bounded by my skin of him as a person. He is the head of the St. Mark Orthodox Fellowship in the U.S., and he is an editor of the Bible study magazine called Word of Life. One of the one of them is outside, one of the editions, and it's free for you to take if you like. And here we are. He will give us some reflections about our topic. Thank you.
Thank you so much for everything. The topic which I like to talk to is the perfect law, the law of liberty. First, I like to talk about the necessity of the law. Human corruption necessitates the law. The law is essential for any community to maintain its existence and development regardless of its size. Even in the very primitive tribal communes, the law is vital to protect the groups from disintegration and fragility. Man's error and corruption are the main source of human weakness and the main cause for the failure of individuals and societies, which compelled the application of law to protect the community from the corruption of the individual and to protect the individual from the partiality and injustice of the community. This is in return would ensure justice and unity of all elements of the community. The limitation of the law, despite its necessity, is as desired as described above. We should recognize that the law has its limitations. In fact, the law is incapable of finding a real solution to human errors and corruption. The fact of history demonstrates the inability of the law to resolve the problems resulting from human deficiencies. Under the law, all sorts of crimes can be committed and unjustly covered and cleverly concealed behind the limitation of the statutes. Practically, the law fails to guarantee full justice or secure human rights. Neither the civil law under the different political systems nor the laws compelled by the religion include the Mosaic law itself. Under the decree of the law, men lived in continuous misery and without hope from generation to generation. The modern world tried to find scientific solution for the limitation of the law through sociology and psychology, but no science can comprehend the real problems of sin and its deep spiritual damage in the human soul. Thus, even science proved incapable of resolving the problem of human error and corruption. Despite consciously being reviewed and updated, the law is unable to keep up with the rapidly evolving and increasingly more sophisticated methods of criminal deception. Much like a fireman who battles one fire only to discover that two new ones have erupted. Also, the law is not able to address more than the superficial appearance of human behavior, which is very deceiving. Man is very clever to deceive and cover up his deep evil intentions. He knows how to cover his greediness and iniquities behind a mask of good deeds and even righteousness. The law depends on clear evidences. This very superficial view cannot give enough tools to investigate the real causes of human corruption. The results, accordingly, are not competent or satisfactory. The Mosaic law, the divine law, was introduced to a group of chosen people, supported by supreme divine spirituality, to develop a very special cult who must follow the law to live a holy life. This cult was chosen under the guardianship of the Almighty God Himself to demonstrate the whole world the superiority and greatness of the life of piety and holiness through the through the righteousness of the law, presuming that holiness must overcome the problem of sin and eliminate the corruption it produced due to the envy of the devil. Unfortunately, the results of this great historical experience differ totally from what was expected. St. Paul reported precisely the result of this great experience, which showed the weakness of the law even under the direction of God due to human weakness and error. St. Paul reported that he said, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, taking opportunity by the commandments, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commands came, sin revived and I died. And the commandments which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandments, deceived me and by it killed me." The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 7, from 7 to 11. The law fashioned an ethical level. This level, I should be, under below this level, I should be penalized. There is a certain level. Do and don't. Any deviation from the commandments of the law put me under judgment. The pride of the law is in its justice with no mercy. The law cannot comprehend or accept the minimum sort of mercy. Because law is just, without mercy, human existence is impossible. Because I am a sinner, not only me, but everyone. Anyone who has the courage to confront himself with truth can see his weakness in front of the law. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The final decision of the trial against the law is, there is none, Titus, no, not one. The law opened the doors of hate for everyone who fell short of its ethical level to be dumped in. Did God create man for death? Also, the cruel decree of the law declares the failure of God's economy in his creation of man, which contradicts the Bible. The book of Genesis says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good." Freedom, the unique attribute which God bestowed on mankind, which portray in him the image of God. At the same time, freedom gave man the ability to err. Through freedom, corruption infected the human world, which became the only dark stain characterized by the shame of sin and iniquity among the supreme glory of the universe. Accordingly, the divine economy became accused of being weak and unsound Iniquity is the black hole in the whole, in the body of humanity, which condemned him to death through the law, that non-existence existed. Death was substantiated and become fact, and the corruption of sin spread violently as an uncontrollable virus, which is the medication of the law, helps to evolve and spread. Christ in confrontation with sin and the law. For what the Epistle to Romans? For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Therefore, now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from law of sin and death. No condemnation. It is a decree of the one who has the authority and power to do so. He is the Son of Man who has the authority to forgive sin. At the same time, he himself is the Lord of the law. The Son of Man is the Lord of the service, which is the heart of the law. Under the fickle level of the law, the doors of hate has opened to receive everyone. To be dumped in, Jesus Christ created another spiritual level. There is a level under it, death, and everyone has to be dumped. When Jesus Christ came, he established another level, very high level. Another spiritual level, which the gates of hate shall not prevail against it. The Ten Commandments, 8 of them say don't do, while 2 say do. In both cases, disobedience of the law results in penalty, so that death prevailed on human life. Against that, our Lord established a very exalted, new level in the beatitude, very high level. Who can reach this is blessed. No penalty, but blessing. No penalty. So he created this high elevation for everyone to try to reach it. Again, that our Lord established a very exalted new level in the beatitude, which results in a blessing to whoever reaches it. This new level was created for the church to exist beyond the reach of the doors of Hades. Through the cross, Jesus descended to Hades to deliver those who were under the condemnation of the law, and through his resurrection from the death in the flesh, he abolished death according to the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 20, chapter 25, verse 8. He was raised in glory to find a place for the church. He found a place for us in different levels, totally different, at the right hand of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is always in the bosom of his Father, through his incarnation, found for us a place among the Holy Trinity. He found for us, for the human being, a place among the Holy Trinity. in his body, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you give me, I have given them. We receive the glory of Christ. He put us among the right hand of God, among the Holy Trinity. He found a place in his body for all of us to be seated on the right hand of God. As St. Paul said in his epistle to the Ephesians, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ did not come to be a judge, but rather an advocate to defend the cause of humanity against the law. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save what which was lost. The Mosaic law condemned Jesus Christ to death on the cross unjustly. The Roman law, which is considered the most just law, confirmed the unjust penalty against the only righteous one. Accordingly, the law was condemned because of its failure to accomplish justice for the merciful Holy Son of God, Christ. Through his cross, Christ condemned the law and our trespasses to free us, all of us sinners, from the death of sin. He who possesses the authority and power of forgiveness created the human error through the forgiveness and freed us from the condemnation of eternal death dictated by the judgment of the law. St. Paul, in the Epistle of Corinthians 2, 2 Corinthians, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us. The handwriting of requirement which is against us. This is the law. Which was contrary to us, and he has taken it. The condemnation of the law, he took the condemnation, this condemnation, has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In the cross he triumphed over the law and its condemnation. Jesus did not come to replace the Mosaic law, the Mosaic legislation, which had produced the death in me through the condemnation of my sin. Rather, he came to unite himself with me in his flesh to reveal his righteousness in my life. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquered through him who loved us. Therefore, the Gospels do not include law, but love, with no condemnation but salvation, and with no penalty but grace. No part of the New Testament books has any literary genre belonging to the legislative form, including the four Gospels. It's very important. The church's essential need for law as community. There is no law in the New Testament. but the church needs law. We have a vital question. Can the church exist or survive without law? The law is a communal necessity for any assembly on earth. The church is the heavenly mystical body of Christ. But at the same time, while it is still on earth, it exists and struggles as a communal being. The church as a communal existence is in several congregations and cultures. Thus, it still is in need of legislation and organization. Christ did not impose a new law in the Gospels, but he gives the criteria and the authority for his disciple to establish a law for the economy of the church during its temporary interim being on earth. This criteria focus on the human importance regardless of sin. The human importance is the main thing for the law. Jesus Christ himself came for the sinner to serve our salvation. His servant in the church must follow his footsteps. The church's law must be different, holy, and very special. All of its statutes must be derived from the perfect royal law, the law of liberty. It is not based on a rigid, infallible dogma, but it must be very flexible to fit the changeable modes of life and to treat all human weakness for the purpose of salvation, to accept all sinners. The law is made to serve, not to enslave man. The Sabbath was made for law, for man. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for Sabbath. The criteria for the church laws according to commandments of Christ. I'll speak very briefly about the criteria. Jesus Christ established criteria to control and organize his church. On the basis, each individual in the church is precious, chosen, stored to build the New Jerusalem, the city of God. He appointed servants to take care of each one individually as prince and princess in the kingdom of the Heavenly Father. Accordingly, the servants are merely just servants, with no master or lord among them, who exercise authority or superiority over the ecclesiastic community, or establish a personal domain over the church. Jesus Christ, the only head, only father, only teacher, and only high priest. I will discuss briefly some of the this criteria. Actually, very briefly, I believe there is six components about this criteria which Jesus Christ established for the law. There is certain warning and admonition. There is three important: who is greater? This question, which is the disciple asking the Lord, represents the main cause for all divisions that occurred in the church through the history. Second admonition: you cannot serve God and mammon. Third one: beware of hypocrisy, which is the leaven of the Pharisees. These three admonitions is one component related to the criteria to be considered for the law. Second component is the people. Considering the people, the importance of each individual and the salvation for all in the ecclesiastic community, the importance of the lost little ones, the danger of the offenses and from whom the offenses come, the unlimited forgiveness and acceptance of all the sinners. Third point, the law made to serve man, not to enslave man. Fourth, Jesus Christ is the only head of the church, and all the administrators are servants. You know that the rulers of the Gentile Lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. The fifth point, the authority of the shepherd. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that you ask, it will be done for them. My Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. This is very important. We understand this in in very wrong way. I have some notes about this. Four verses. This very powerful authority is above the law and supersedes it, which gives his disciple the power and freedom to offer the best possible service to the church in favor of the sinner and to serve them on case-by-case basis. For the salvation of the world, each individual in the church is important, and each case is a special case, and it needs specific care for the optimum results. That it was called in the ecclesiology, the economia. This is very important. The economia is very important. Hence, Christ's intent was not for the authority to be abused, but for the accomplishment of a superior service. Second point. The purpose of the church dispensation is to offer help and mercy to every member of the congregation in accordance with their individual needs. Christ, being all just and merciful, did not lay down rigid laws to be imposed in all cases. Instead, he gave authority to those whom he chose, having special attribute suitable for shepherding his flock. Those to whom this authority was granted should make judgment and take decision tailored to merits of each individual case as needed, considering its uniqueness and specifics. Any decision attributed to serving the church must be taken by two or three persons gathered together in the name of Christ. Christ will be in their midst, and the Father will do whatever they ask. Accordingly, whatever they bind on earth will be bound in the heaven, and whatever they loose on earth will be loosed on heaven. Actually, this decision is made by Christ, who is in the midst. No single person on his own has the right to make a decision for the church's salvation. The fathers of the church call this the body of witnesses. The death of the authority granted to the shepherds of the church was not to enable them to exercise it from personal viewpoint, rather it is meant as a basis for administering and managing church affairs, ultimately for the salvation of humanity. So Christ gave this administrating shepherds authority, not for their personal task to do whatever they wish, but to carry out a better service by being free to discern and make decisions according to the specific of each case, considering that God's will is salvation. We have to remember that before God gives this authority to the disciples, he said, "For offense must come." It's written, "Woe to the world because of offenses, but woe to what man by whom the offenses come. Whoever calls one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Therefore, many Christian legislative manuscripts appeared after Christ. They are considered part of the church tradition. Also, on this basis, the Holy Ecumenical and Local Council assembled to discuss and resolve the church problems and to establish new rules. It is of utmost importance to note that the key here is adherence to the criteria set by Jesus Christ, our Lord, in organizing church law. Once here is deviation from this criteria has happened numerous times since the 5th century, when the church leaders start to ask, who is greater? That do not help the stability of the church, but rather it causes more disintegration, more divisions. The world despises the church with shaken and uncertain belief, not adhering to Christ's spiritual measurements. Our hope is in the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Comfort, and the Advocate of God's people. Thank you so much.